we're in the season of the parables. I was just looking ahead. You saw me flipping the pages in the book. Pretty soon we'll get to Matthew chapter 13 in the weekday readings, which is where we have been taking the Sunday readings the last couple of weeks and also this upcoming Sunday. Matthew 13 is the chapter in Matthew's Gospel where he has seven parables. So one of the anchors of Sunday's liturgy was the profound parable of the weeds and the wheat, which reveals to us, or we could say uncovers the mystery for us of why things are the way they are now, this weird mixture of good and evil, weeds and wheat, and uncovers also what things will be like at the end, the great separation of good and evil, the separation of weeds and wheat. So it's a profound parable, and I think we can read today's readings in light of it. Because yes, we are in the present state of affairs in a mixed condition. The world is, all human communities are, and each individual person is. Mixture, weeds and wheat. At the end of time, what Matthew calls the end of the age, that it will not be like that anymore. We will either be in a condition that is worse than we could possibly imagine. The symbol is burning up with wailing and grinding of teeth. Or we will be in a condition greater than we can possibly imagine. The image is shining like the sun in the presence of our Father. So that's where we're going. We're not there now. We're here, we're in this mixture condition. Now, that's, as I said, that's the background for what we're pondering today. In today's gospel, Jesus brings up the question, who is my mother? Now, anyone here in the chapel, anyone following the Catholic life, the liturgical life, the Annuum life, knows how highly we respect and honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. We know who his mother is, and we have no doubt that she is perfectly united with the will of God. People who don't know that and read this gospel will probably get the impression that Jesus is somehow rejecting the woman who gave him birth, or at least setting her aside, in favor of his disciples. So that it's understandable that someone might have that impression, but it's not what he's saying at all. I think I don't have to go into lengthy explanation about that here. No, I think we can ponder Mary as the unique person who was never a mixture of weeds and wheat. From the beginning, she was preserved from any weeds. That's the whole point of the Immaculate Conception. It's a unique privilege. It's not because of anything she did. God chose her and preserved her from any weeds. So that's a unique situation. But then Mary's greatness is, first of all, her greatness is the gift she received. But then she persevered in that weedlessness, I guess you could call it, sinlessness, you know, that immaculate condition. She persevered for her whole lifetime, until she was taken up to heaven, and now she's the one who, with her son, reigns in glory, shines like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. So she's already achieved that end state that was mentioned in the parable on Sunday. She shines like the sun. Even the saints are not yet fully in that condition because their bodies have not yet been resurrected, right? They're awaiting the resurrection of the body. So even the greatest saints are not yet in a bodily glory like Mary is. So that's Mary. By the way, I have a little distraction here because of today's saint, Saint Lawrence of Brindisi, Capuchin. The point, and I think it's worth saying, in this time, mixture weeds and wheat, there's no guarantee that we will be considered glorious in this world, even by the church, even by people who know us. And what struck me was the comparison between St. Lawrence of Brindisi and St. Padre Pio. We honored St. Padre Pio last week with our pilgrimage. He is also a Capuchin. Padre Pio, during his lifetime, was not always honored by the Capuchins. They didn't know what to make of him. Some of them were very suspicious of him. And he was, for a time, forbidden to do public ministry because of something weird about him. Well, he had the stigmata. That's pretty weird. Lawrence of Brindisi did not, he had the opposite. He was very highly honored by his own community, Capuchins. He was elected to be the minister general. He was given high position. So, but neither the rejection that St. Padre experienced or the praise that St. Lawrence experienced has anything to do with that end state, shining with glory. So that's why we shouldn't be concerned about the ups and downs of our status in this world. Some days we will suffer and be rejected. Some days people will thank us and honor us. Don't be distracted by either of those, because the end state we're shooting for is to shine like the sun. Okay, so that's just a side point, but I think worth pondering. Now, about Mary, when Mary and the other relatives of Jesus show up, and Jesus is told, your mother and your brothers are outside, and they ask to speak with you, Jesus very deliberately changes the level of the conversation when he says, who is my mother? Of course he knew who his mother was. And not only that, everybody else knew it. There was no question who gave birth to him. So it's not a question that needs to be answered. It's not a question that needs to be asked. Who's my mother? Well, then why did he ask it? Because he wants to introduce a new kind of motherhood that's available not only to the one woman who gave him birth, but to everyone who can be included in the family. That this is the revolution. So it's not a put down of Mary at all. It's an elevation of everybody else, or at least the opportunity to be raised to the family status. And what is the criterion? Not physical childbirth, but doing the will of the Father. And that's where Jesus concludes. Whoever does the will of my Heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother. Doing the will of the Father is the one criterion, meaning be united with the will of the Father. Accept what the Father gives. Believe what the Father reveals. Do what the Father says. No matter what anyone else thinks about it, good or bad, praise or criticism, that's not it. The criterion is do the will of the Father. And that establishes us in a family relationship with Jesus. Now, what about when we don't do the will of the Father? We're all sinners here. And we know that we can't claim to be like Mary without weeds. We've had weeds, we still have weeds. We have a tendency to foster weeds. It's a part of the sin condition. But what do we do about this? This is one question that the parable on Sunday doesn't address directly, because it implies there's either weeds or there's weed, and that's the way it is. When in fact, there is this marvelous possibility of being freed from our weediness. And that's what comes up in today's first reading. Prophet Micah. Micah proclaims how great it is that God, who is all-knowing and all-powerful, removes guilt from the sinners. Who is there like you, the God who removes guilt and pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance, who does not persist in anger forever, but delights rather in clemency? This is what God is like. He is not intent on burning us up. Even though we have weeds, even though we deserve, strictly speaking, we deserve punishment. But what does God do? He casts into the depths of the sea all our sins. What's the sea? Divine mercy. The ocean of divine mercy. By comparison to the mercy of God, our sins are become insignificant, like a speck in the ocean. This is part of what's offered to us when Jesus says, whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother, sister, and mother. Well, we can't be part of the family of God if we're stained with sin. Sin can't remain in the presence of God. So if we're going to be brought into the family, there has to be a solution to sin. And this is the solution, the mercy of God. In fact, it's the greatest solution. And that's what Micah's Old Testament, he doesn't know how this ocean of mercy is going to be made available to us. He doesn't know the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection in triumph over sin and death. He doesn't know that, but he knows that God is rich in mercy, that he's willing to overcome his own justice in order to pardon sinners. And that's great news for us. So let us treasure these seeds of these revealed words to us so that we can continue our journey, our pilgrimage, in hope, in confidence that we won't be dragged down by sin, we don't have to be slaves to sin, we can truly hope to shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father.